Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with David Gibson, accomplished executive, international business, technology, education, and certification authority, group product manager for employability certification and career excellence at Microsoft. David, you have a long history of significant outstanding contributions in a number of fields, including societal causes. Thank you for sharing your considerable expertise, deep accumulated insights, and wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen. It's an honor to be of service.
Dave, how did you get to your current position at Microsoft, and what three key lessons can you share from your long history of successes?
Well, Stephen, I have a broad experience across many fields that I see as triangulating between education, intellectual property publishing, and technology. I began in textbook publishing and quickly moved into technology-related projects. I've held positions in product management, IT management, and field engineering. More recently, I was responsible for sales of ICT textbooks and classroom software with Course Technology, formerly of Thomson Learning, now Cengage. In that role, among other tasks, I was responsible for helping customers understand how to integrate our products into their classrooms. The primary product for the last several years was a psychomotor assessment tool for Microsoft Office. This tool allowed instructors to assess student mastery of the Microsoft Office applications using a performance model of assessment. That experience led to my achieving a position at Microsoft Learning, where I'm driving several projects related to facilitating and validating learning.
Can you profile your current roles and opportunities?
I'm currently leading a team with responsibilities for learning plans, user certification programs, and credential transparency. These projects all drive toward improving the journey to IT professionalism and increasing the relevance of the learning our customers achieve.
Can you tell us more about your vision and the objectives behind your current roles and what you hope to accomplish and how you will bring this about?
Well, in a digital wealth system, the system is absolutely dependent on the capabilities of the individuals who work within the system. In addition, the capability of any organization within the digital wealth system requires a diverse set of skills to drive innovation and creative solutions. In this context, I'm driving several projects that are relevant to the journey of our community of customers. We see these as the pillars in the value of certification: journey, relevance, and community. In terms of journey, my team is working on building our current learning plans into career plans that reflect the journey of actual working professionals, not a theoretical path. All technical professionals begin as users, so this group is very important. We are working to develop our user certification program, primarily centered around the Microsoft Office applications, to be more relevant to the user community that does not move on to be technical professionals. In this context, we need to develop the user certification program to map to the more directly to the user experience and the role that the applications play in our non-technical professional lives. It's a very different perspective than that of the technical certifications, where the technology is at the center of the professional life of our customer. Finally, we have initiatives and work that address the value these credentials, both technical and non-technical, have. The credentials have to be part of the larger world, and they have to be useful to a wider group to provide the relevant value to our customers.
Well, that's an amazing contribution and landscape that you provided, and I can see the real value to just the broader community that's out there. So how will your roles contribute then to your vision for the world and society, industry, academia, and technology?
With industry certification, we see a valuable contribution to the role academia has always played in society. I see academia playing three roles: research, teaching, and validation of learning. In this latter role, our work in certification has a lot to contribute for a digital wealth system. In this digital environment, the question of diversity and granularity of credentials is increasingly important. I see this as supplemental to the traditional role of the academic institution in addressing more formal foundational learning. In industry certification, we see a model for addressing granularity in learning and still maintaining the highest practical standards in that credentialing process. We've reached a point of maturity with the Microsoft certifications where we are able to contribute to learning and the world of work through engagement and accreditation of certification by the institutions charged with validating the educational experience that's offered to the public. If you earn an industry credential, your credential should be part of the larger picture of educational credentials in your country. I represent Microsoft Learning in this work either directly or as a support to my colleagues in country.
You know, David, we had this amazing conversation at the Global MVP Summit where you came in. We talked about this amazing program that you're working on, Microsoft Elevate America. It's just really exciting. Can you tell us more about it?
Sure. Microsoft is committed to strengthening the U.S. economy as well as the economy of all the other countries in the world where we do business, and increasing global competitiveness by improving access to education and workforce readiness skills required for 21st century jobs. To support this commitment, we launched Elevate America. This is an initiative designed to provide 1 million vouchers for Microsoft e-learning courses and select Microsoft certification exams at no cost to the recipient. Elevate America will be executed in partnership with the U.S. states across the country as part of an overall effort to help train 2 million people over the next 3 years. I'm leading the virtual team within Microsoft Learning to work out the logistical and operational details to deliver these e-learning and certification vouchers. We should launch this project within the next 3 weeks, and our next step is to build a framework for globalizing this program.
I can see the tremendous benefits of this program, not only in the United States, but around the world because of really the value delivery. So again, just great work, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more about it.
Well, thank you. I hope that we're able to continue to contribute in this way as well as in many other ways.
So why does Microsoft care about skilling the world?
Well, Microsoft as a company is dependent on the ability of our customers to use the technologies that we create. Our mission at Microsoft Learning is to make sure the skills are ready in the marketplace as our colleagues in sales present new technology solutions to our customers. Even if a technological solution were a marvel of perfection, it would not win the competitive challenge if managers of technology were not able to find staff to implement and use these technologies. I happen to know that have a personal connection to this concept because when I was an IT director, I was tempted by one of my staff to shift large portions of our infrastructure to non-Microsoft platforms. And one of the primary reasons I would not choose to do so is the lack of talented staff to manage those platforms. Although I had the people I needed at that moment, I had difficulty finding even these staff skilled in non-Microsoft platforms. In fact, there is still, even in this economic downturn, a shortage of technology professionals of all stripes. And, for example, the IDC currently puts that gap at 40% for some IT disciplines. So Microsoft has a very deep interest in skilling everyone. We estimate that we have touched somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 billion people on the planet with our technologies over the last years. And we need to bring more people into the digital wealth system so that we have customers in the future and so that the society that we live in and depend upon is healthy and strong.
I guess this really speaks to the fact that technology and an enablement, empowerment that's that comes from technology is really the root of the future of the world today, but also for years to come in terms of GDP growth, just providing the necessary skills so that people can grow in their lives and their careers and their jobs, but also grow the economy in many ways.
Absolutely.
Can you detail the efforts of Microsoft to assist governments in skilling the workforce?
Well, in addition to the Elevate America project that we discussed, Microsoft works with various groups, our colleagues and other groups, such as Microsoft Unlimited Potential, the Microsoft Partners in Learning, as well as projects such as Microsoft Student to Business and the Microsoft Innovation Centers. These are just some examples of projects and groups within Microsoft that are working to build skills in areas where basic skills are lacking. For example, Microsoft Learning collaborates with the Unlimited Potential Group to create and disseminate the Microsoft Digital Literacy Curriculum. This is e-learning and self-assessment that teaches the most rudimentary skills in computer technology that we so often take for granted in more developed economies. We offer the digital literacy at no cost in over 30 languages, and we have several projects that work to remove the barriers caused by the lack of access to computers that go hand in glove with that initiative.
So getting back to some of your major roles, what can you tell us about employability and career excellence at Microsoft Learning?
Well, in the certification team at Microsoft Learning, led by Bill Wall, we're driving toward a vision of certification as a validation of the technical knowledge one achieves in the journey of work. It's a journey, not a destination. We're not interested in offering a certification because who wants a certification, right? Most people want interesting and profitable work. We need to orient our thinking and our products to this reality. So this means that we drive our certification products in the direction of matching up with and mapping to the world of work that our customers are living.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Bill Wall. I mean, is that the legendary Bill Wall?
Yes, I believe he's certainly legendary in certain circles.
You know, he's provided some, perhaps the roots of certification education, and for many, many years, right? So
yes, he helped start the certification program years ago at Novell, which really was the first IT certification program to reach massive scale in the world.
Increasingly, there's attention being given to IT as a profession with recognized professional certification, adherence to a code of ethics, demonstrated professional development, alignment with a body of knowledge and best practices, and these concepts are encapsulated in IT professionalism. Can you share your views on IT professionalism?
Well, sure. I mean, as you've indicated in the question, Stephen, IT professionalism is a large field that attempts to envelop the best of a person's career. It is growing in importance for the same reason that professionalism is important in other fields like medicine, law, and accountancy. As our society increasingly relies on information and communication technologies, we must increasingly look for deep professional skills and judgment from the women and men who manage these technologies. Of course, there's a need to formalize this expertise and ensure that when we depend on ICT professionals, that their depth of expertise is sufficient to the task. In no way does this take away from the meritocracy that characterizes the ICT world. Rather, I see it as providing structure that allows for the constant change that characterizes our industry and yet maintains minimum standards of quality.
So now, what is the significance of certification then to professionalism?
Well, certification can provide a legally defensible measure of psychomotor and cognitive knowledge that's a prerequisite for any broader judgment of professionalism. So certification programs, while they cannot easily measure affective domains such as professional judgment or attitudes, but at an immediate level, it can measure specific skills and understanding over time. We can see in a certification record that ongoing dedication to professional development is a critical characteristic of any professional. Most importantly, however, industry certification provides a model for flexibility and granularity that recognizes the constant change that's characteristic of the ICT industry. The digital wealth system requires a level of granularity if we are to avoid the stifling effect that standards and regulation can sometimes have on a field of study. By keeping industry certification in the mix, we allow for validated measures of technical skills at a granular level that will flex with the shifting landscape of the ICT industry.
David, you're constantly engaged at a very global level in a variety of initiatives, and it's because of your long history of success and really the tremendous standing that you have in the global community. And I'm thinking now about your work on the Certification Council of the European Industry Leadership Board. Can you tell us more about this work?
Well, Microsoft is pleased to join its competitors in efforts that advance the ICT industry and increase the level of participation in the digital wealth system. So together with our colleagues at CompTIA, Cisco, and other companies, we have established a certification council in the United States called the ITCC, the IT Certification Council. And then, as you indicated, in Europe, we have the European Industry Leadership Board, which has a certification council as a function of that board. The reason Microsoft feels a need to participate in these because we need to secure the future of the digital society for the good of society and for the good of our respective companies. The eSkills Industry Leadership Board provides a venue for the ICT companies working in Europe to contribute to the ICT skills efforts of the European Union and its member states. The Certification Council is a function of the ILB that focuses on the question of professional credentials in the ICT space, with participation from those firms who specifically invest in the validation of skills. Some of the initiatives of the Council include the eSkills Career Portal, support of the work of the CNN ISSS eSkills Workshop. This workshop has several projects, including the recently announced European eCompetence Framework, a project to rationalize industry certification to various national education systems in Europe, and a new initiative to establish a European framework for user e-competence.
David, it's, you know, just amazing what you're doing, and you know, it's just such great contributions, and it's having an historical impact. There's also this UN-founded International Federation for Information Processing, or IFIP, and they have their International Professional Practice Partnership Program, or IP3 program. And this speaks to global certification and global standards and so on, and has reached a number of milestones. Can you comment on this initiative?
Well, I think this is an important step along the path to recognizing the ICT professional as an established profession. It has been interesting to me how many people fail to understand the rigor, for example, of our industry certification program. Once people understand this, it's increasingly the case that people, regulatory bodies, and academic institutions are supportive of certification. And in that support for certification, one sees an increasing acknowledgement that ICT professionals are not just computer geeks. They are business people who specialize in a critical function of any business organization. This recognition by the UN General Assembly for the IP3 program of IFIP is a further step that acknowledges the broader domain of an ICT professional.
Tell us more about your work at the recent Futurelia conference in Lisbon.
Well, I was asked to speak at the Futurelia conference in Lisbon, where they were addressing issues related to advances in education and ways in which education is moving forward the needs of the country that of any particular country, in this case Portugal. And the specific topic that I spoke to was related to the importance of granularity in our educational system. The industrial wealth system required a much more formalized lockstep perspective in education, where whole classrooms full of students would move through exactly the same curriculum. In a digital wealth system, as we've discussed in the context of certification, we see a need for much more granularity. Any particular student doesn't necessarily need the same educational experience that the student sitting next to them needs. There are exceptions, of course. Everyone needs to have basic literacy, basic math, some of your fundamentals. But that having been said, the information age and the digital wealth system requires a much more granular approach that says, what does this individual need in order to move forward on the path that they're going in order to best match their skills? Because if they maximize their realization of what they're capable of doing, that will benefit everyone. And so this concept of granularity is something that I think technical certification programs in industry have something to contribute in terms of a functional system for achieving that granularity and issuing credentials and recognizing the progress of ICT professionals as they move through their career on very different paths for each individual. But the credentials that they earn come in much smaller packages. And this is what I think an important piece of what we see in some of the tension that currently exists in the educational space.
So what do you see then as the top challenges facing us today, and how do you propose they be solved?
I think that one of the more significant challenges that we face as a society is this transition from an industrial age, industrial economy into an information-based economy. It creates a much more fractured, in some sense, experience of how we move through our society and how we move through the world of work, how we structure the world of business and the world of academia and education. And moving from that more industrial mindset that sees things in terms of factories, in terms of assembly lines, to a world where things move very quickly in multiple directions, and everyone is contributing what they have and what they know and they're capable of doing. They contribute this, and it moves everything forward. So the individuality almost becomes an asset rather than a challenge. And I see us as sitting on the cusp of this change from industrial to the digital wealth system, and all of the implications that has for the way we structure our society and the way that we manage our business. And we see some of these pain points, I would argue, in even the disasters currently racking the financial industry, where it becomes increasingly important to monitor and to watch and to understand the implications of everyone's actions, and the importance of information becomes paramount.
So you've already touched on this already in terms of, you know, sort of some of the predictions of the future. Do you have any other kinds of predictions to make, what's going to happen in the future, the implications, and how executives and professionals can best prepare?
I tend not to worry too much about the future per se. I think that I would say that in addressing the question of what the future holds, it's important to look at the way in which our information systems and the information that we hold, not just in terms of what we are dealing with in the immediate, but how that is going to impact us years down the road. And one of the challenges from a leadership position is to step back from the press of the immediate, which is usually quite intense in an information economy, and look very carefully at where you expect your current activities to move. Because if you don't position your current choices against where you hope or anticipate you're going to move, then you'll find yourself blocked in the future. By the same token, you can block yourself in the present by failing to recognize the significance of the changes that will occur in the future. So what does the future hold? Well, we can pencil sketch in where we hope to go. We can pencil sketch in what we anticipate is going to happen 5 years down the road or a year down the road. But what we have to be careful not to do, it seems to me, is to write that down in permanent ink, because it's going to change. So we position ourselves, and I position my team, and I position my work in a way that is flexible and comfortable with the changes that will likely occur in an unpredictable way in the immediate or long-term future.
I guess there's another area that, you know, I see a lot of news about, and that's in the Asia marketplace. And, you know, there's about 2.5 billion people in China and India, and I know that China graduates something like 700,000 engineers a year. India graduates 450,000 engineers a year. There's a prediction that by 2010 or sometime in 2010, 90% of the world's engineers and scientists will actually be in the Asia region. Mm-hmm. Now, when you contrast this with the U.S., the U.S. graduates about 50 to 60,000 engineers a year. So it gives you kind of a shape of the way things are going. And even when you look at social networking communities, you know, there's 800 million users of the QQ text messaging service. That ranks amongst the top six countries in size, and this is based out of China. So what are your comments about this China-based market and the India-based market?
Well, I think that both China and India recognize the significance of the information wealth system, the digital wealth system. India is tracking, it seems to be tracking pretty strongly toward, directly toward the digital wealth system. China has a strong industrial base and is developing their industrial system as well as their burgeoning information system, information wealth system. And I think that, what they both seem to recognize is they're trying to understand how to turn the, resource they have, which is people, into a wealth driver. And, I think that there's reason to believe that that's going to work, particularly in a digital wealth system. As we move into an information wealth system where information, data, the movement of data, the autocatalytic nature of knowledge becomes the driver for wealth and for the betterment of society, then China and India, with their huge populations, are sitting on a gold mine. Whereas in the industrial wealth system, having accessed iron ore and therefore steel was critical to the wealth of a particular country. In the information age, it is very likely that we will see China and India moving forward because of their immense wealth in people. And then for the West, for Europe and the United States and Canada, our ongoing wealth will be dependent upon our ability to increase the sophistication and take advantage of our head start, if you will, in the digital wealth system, and to continue to build on what we already have.
David, you have this amazing background as an accomplished executive and thought leader, and you're widely respected and, in fact, renowned for your expertise. So I want to mine that a bit. You know, what career tips would you give to IT professionals, and what would be the reasons behind them?
Well, I think the first thing that I would say in terms of IT professionals is that you need to understand the business. Know how your company contributes to the economy and society. If you want to increase the value of your contribution, regardless of your ambition to rise in an organization or build a career as a senior individual contributor, it's not sufficient to simply know the technology. You have to understand that technology provides a solution, and the solution has to match the business requirements. And, you know, the degree to which the very best IT professionals that I've worked with are those who take the time to listen carefully to the non-technical people as they explain what's going on in their world. And through that explanation and through that dialogue, they are better able to shape the technology to solve problems that the individuals within their company or the company itself have are facing at that particular moment. And the solutions will drive the success of the company for which you work, or the company that you founded, or the client that you for whom you consult. And I think that's probably one of the core pieces that I would bring to light.
So David, that's amazing. It sounds like you're really advocating for what I call BAID attributes, and that's business skills and core industry knowledge, where the IT worker is employed, a service-oriented attitude, which is the focus on the user and customer experience, deep interpersonal skills tied in with project management, customer relationship management, communications capabilities, and then all of this rounded off by technical skills and competencies.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think the maturing point that we are experiencing within the ICT professional space is that increasingly it is recognized outside of ICT, as it has been recognized for some time within ICT, that ICT is not simply a nice to have within business. It's absolutely critical to the competitiveness of any particular business. And as such, ICT professionals who, you know, historically 20, 30 years ago, might have just simply needed to be really good at their particular expertise, technical expertise, now needs to understand that technical expertise insofar as they wish to increase the significance of their contribution, need to understand that contribution within the larger context. As we move forward, I think that increasingly we will see that all lines of business, all aspects of a particular business, regardless of their personal technical expertise, rely on those functions that fall under the auspices of information and communication technology.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you talk about the business side and sort of the fundamental sort of requirements and base that IT drives of all organizations today. And it kind of ties in also with this UN-founded International Federation for Information Processing mandate, but because that's about global standards and professionalism and trust and a code of ethics and a stronger voice with the IT practitioner, a sense of common identity. But it also talks about this feeling of being an engineer or executive over this geek image and driving business solutions over just technical features and then adding to that a career path, career progression, and recognition. So all of those are kind of wrapped up into this idea that's fundamental to really the existence and the agility of any organization today.
Absolutely. And we hope to recognize all of that within the context of the certification programs, the evolution of the certification program here at Microsoft, from the very base level of getting started within the field and charting career paths that make sense for people, and then all the way through our certification program, our traditional certification program, to our new master's certification program that addresses the more mature, higher-end ICT professional and how that interacts, how that interaction occurs at the business level.
You know, we're coming to the end of this interview, and this is where I kind of turn the tables on you, David. So this is where I say, you know, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers if you were doing this interview?
I think I'd probably ask what the significance of user certification might be. I ask that question because in many respects, people see certification as a termination point, and I think this is a mistake. I think that it's a hangover from an industrial way of understanding education, where we put you through some education so that you will be a good automaton on the assembly line, and then we leave it at that. And that was all that was needed from a macro perspective in the industrial wealth system. But in an information wealth system, I need more from everyone. And education becomes a lifelong endeavor. And as we approach education from the perspective of an ongoing journey rather than a destination, it is within that context that user certification on various applications becomes much more important and valuable, because I am able to capture with these certifications as a business person, I can capture the capabilities of my staff. I can make sure that we haven't missed anything important, because many people say, well, I do just fine knowing what I know. But I've also been amazed to walk down the halls of various companies where I've worked and be startled at how people's capabilities with the software technologies that were sitting right in front of them became an obstacle to forward progress. And by addressing the broader capabilities of a particular tool that or technology that's been put in front of your employees, you increase their capabilities, and you will see a return on that investment because it's increasingly important that everyone contribute to the best of their ability within their space. And it's no longer sufficient to simply say, well, that's good enough, because what you're leaving on the table conceptually will eventually become actual dollars you've left on the table at some point. And it becomes a cumulative effect. And again, this is a shift. This is where I say that one of the challenges we face is to move our thinking out of the industrial economy and into the digital economy, to be able to say that each individual within my organization has a substantive contribution to make. And their contribution can be constrained by their capabilities with the software. And this actually becomes a topic that should be of interest to anyone in a leadership position in ICT, because as an ICT professional rolling out software packages and capabilities within my organization, I need to be able to see those technical solutions become solutions to actual business problems and meeting business requirements within my organization. And if I can do something that validates that my users have the skills that they need and that we are all moving forward in a way that advances the cause of the larger business, then I'm more successful at what I'm doing as an ICT professional. And I can document that success.
So it sounds like then from a user certification standpoint or from an ICT professional certification standpoint, you're really talking about lifelong learning and demonstrated continuing professional development to ensure that you can serve in your role in your best capacity and leverage all of the different kind of competencies you have to support that role and in essence then provide better value to the organization that you're working in.
Absolutely. Which then leads to your own personal success as well as the success of your organization. And all of this contributes to the strength and the stability of our society. And so that we can get on to more important things like taking care of our family.
Well, David, you know, we come to the end of the interview, and I really do thank you for coming in today. You know, you have a very demanding schedule, and we're indeed fortunate to have you do this interview. So thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Well, thank you, Stephen. It was a pleasure.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with David Gibson, accomplished executive, International Business, Technology, Education, and Certification Authority, Group Product Manager for Employability Certification and Career Excellence at Microsoft.